message this morning, you'll know maybe a little bit more. And if not in knowledge, then in life, seeking to live it. Please join me in a brief prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us today. As always, you are with us every step of the way, and you desire us to learn always more about you, and especially out of that learning to live what it means. We pray that regarding your holiness today, search our hearts, move deeply within us, form us through this message and the Lord's Supper we are about to celebrate together, even more so along our journey into the image of the Holy One, Jesus. Amen. From Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to begin there this morning, an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. From Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, where we see this incredible vision that God gave to the prophet Isaiah centuries ago. And these are the words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me in a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And then from 1 Peter in the New Testament reading from chapter 1, beginning at verse 13 through verse 16, where we read this word of the Lord, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Friends, if you had the opportunity to talk to someone about God this week, and you would begin to share something about the nature of God, I wonder what you would say, what you would talk about, what aspects of who God is and what God has done that you might relate to them if they were hungering and thirsting for such knowledge and they wanted to hear it from you. Perhaps somewhere along the line or in the journey of relationship with such a person, you might have the opportunity to talk about what the Bible calls holiness, the holiness of God. We would do well somewhere along that journey to talk with others about that, and we would do well to reflect on it ourselves, because it is one of those incredible characteristics of God that often is sort of in the background. People are not probably as well versed about it or tuned in about it. It is not something that is discussed much these days. It is even less understood, and I think even less than that, lived. And yet the God that we serve and love in Jesus Christ is a God who reveals himself in his word as a God of profound holiness. To be holy, and there is much in the Bible about this, we'll touch on a few things this morning, but to be holy means to be set apart, essentially. In the Bible, you could go to the Old Testament and you'll find various things that are set apart, various spaces that are set apart. In the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, there were things called the Holy of Holies, for instance, the holy place. There were holy instruments. There were holy people like holy priests who were called to do holy things. And they were set apart for God. So anything that's called holy in the Bible, that's it. It's set apart for God, set apart from sin, and set apart for the world. As we take a look at spiritual formation today in the light of holiness, in the light of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, I'd like to invite you to, just as we go through a few things, reflect on this. Reflect on the nature of your own spiritual formation. Because, you know, after all, the Holy Spirit who is in you, if you are a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, desires, the Bible says, that we would be conformed into the image, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that Christ would be formed in us. And part of that process in us is that the Holy Spirit, through His Word and through many types of ways and means, is going to be shaping us into the image of Christ, who was the Holy One. The Holy One who came into the midst of this earth. The one that we most long to be like. Because you know what? The more we become like Him, the more we become like God. And Jesus came to show us and to demonstrate what that is all about. And came to show us and demonstrate to us what it means to live a life set apart fully to God. To live a life that is set apart from sin and all the ways that that keeps us from becoming all that we're meant to become. And He showed us very clearly that it doesn't stop there, but that being holy people of God, we are called to be set apart for the world. For the world. And there are some wonderful challenges in all of this, I think, for each of us. You know, when a person is confronted somehow in their life in deeper ways, and that can happen in all sorts of ways, with the actual presence of God, you're not the same after that. Isaiah received a vision from God centuries ago. And he was never the same, even though he was a prophet. He had never, it seems, at least in recorded history in the scriptures, received a vision quite like this. It was as if God opened up, as it were, the heavens. He pulled back the curtain a bit of the very throne room and showed him what heaven was really like. Showed him something of the holiness of God. And so we read in this particular passage, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. I saw the Lord, it's a particular word that's used there, different from the one that's used later. This particular word is what you may have come to know as Adonai. This is the sovereign name of God. It is the title of God. It is like saying President Obama. That's his title. And Adonai is the title of Almighty God. And this is what he saw. It's a title that reflects someone who is sovereignly in control of all things. And he reminds us here that it was during this time of Uzziah, when Israel was in great difficulties and political turmoil, that there needed to be some sense among the people of God that someone was in charge of this world and of our lives and of this universe. Believe me, when you're facing an F3 or F4 or F5 tornado like many of those did recently in the past weeks down in Oklahoma, and that thing is coming at you and you can't do anything about it and it absolutely decimates everything in its path because of its power, you need to know that there is someone that is even above such power who is in charge of this world and of your life. And that we are not the products somehow of chance. That, well, this just sort of happens. And life is totally out of control. And so it was a great comfort. The holiness of God is a great comfort to us when we go through difficulties that we cannot figure out or understand in life. He has this vision of these awesome angels called seraphs here. The Bible speaks about various kinds of angels. It speaks about the fact that we as a people of God have ministering angels that work among us and for us and with us and surround us in all kinds of ways that I think most of us don't have a clue about. It speaks about angels like Michael, who was a great warring angel, the head of the warring armies of God, who does battle for us in Jesus' name. Again, in ways that we often don't even see. And then there are the seraphs, those angels created specifically for the worship of Almighty God. That is their entire task, covering their eyes and their feet as created beings in His holy presence. Can you imagine angels perfect in the presence of God? In the presence of such a holy, majestic being, needing to cover themselves because they are so humbled in His presence. How much more you and me? And they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." You know, there are many things that people gravitate to about God when they get connected with God. We all love to hear about God's love, His mercy, His grace, His compassion, all of which we see here in the Lord's Supper today and are reminded of in Jesus Christ. But there is only one characteristic of God that the Bible speaks about three times in a row. And it's not love, love, love. It's not mercy, mercy, mercy. It's not power, power, power. Although all of these are so very true of God. It is holy, holy, holy. When those Hebrew writers would write, they would often emphasize in the Bible things by repeating them. And many things are repeated twice to do that. But there is only one thing in the nature of God that's repeated three times for absolute emphasis to grab your attention fully. That when we come into the presence of God, He is holy, 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 a holy God. You know, if we remained in our sin, friends, and you came to a sudden realization of that fact, I think it would absolutely scare the daylights out of us. Except for the fact that in God's grace, there is another one who has come, who has exemplified in an absolutely perfect way the holiness of God, who has gone to a cross centuries ago to pay for our sin so that we could be reconnected, what the Bible calls reconciled, made righteous in the presence of an absolutely holy God. Do you realize how much of a privilege that is? Do you realize that because of that, your past, your sinful past and mine, has been fully taken care of? Our present is something that is full of hope, even in the midst of a sinful world. And our future is something to live for, because one day we will see, in all of his pristine beauty and majesty and awesome holiness, God, as we have never seen him before. We are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning, friends. We are reminded today to be holy, to live as God's holy priesthood that the Apostle Peter speaks about in chapter 2. We are reminded that this calls us to work with the Holy Spirit, that this may be attained in our lives, but that predominantly it is a work of God to create this kind of holiness within us. There is so much I was going to say about this all this morning, and we do not have time, because the Bible is full of all kinds of meaning and implications. But please remember this. Holiness means that you are a special people, more special to God than any people on the face of the earth. You, in Jesus Christ, are God's holy priesthood. You, in Jesus Christ, are God's saints, even though we continue to sin. And to be a saint means to be holy. That's the root word. It means that you are set apart for God, fully and completely. It means that we are to be set apart from sin, from all that would keep us from the holiness that God desires, and that we are set apart for the world, because all of those things of the meaning of this, of the Lord's Supper together. Because this points us to Jesus today, the Holy One who was born, the angel Gabriel said it before his very birth, to be the Son of God, the Holy One to be born. Born through the work of the Holy Spirit to reflect a holy God, to create a holy people, to create a world that one day would be full of holiness. That as Zechariah says at the end of his prophecy, even the bells on the horses would be having the words inscribed on them, holy. One day we're going to live in a holy world, friends. Absolutely, totally set apart to God. A world devoid of all sin. A world in which God's people will be committed to one another and to others, fully and completely, as they continue to do in the new heaven and the new earth their kingdom work. And this is all because of the great work, the awesome work, the wonderfully holy work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together now. And we have a reading that is going to include all of us. I would invite you to join in with that reading together.